Yeah, I've actually worked with them before. I mean, my organization's worked in coalition with them before, so.
Jeff Nelson Blake is the guy who's coordinating this one.
Okay.
With St. John's, actually the three or four churches in the synagogue, so, good.
Cool. Is it recording?
It is, yeah.
Oh.
I just wanted to say, we also have our meeting at 4 o'clock for the full task force sitting here.
Yes.
So maybe I'll step out a little bit earlier and start getting ready for that one.
Absolutely fine. Okay, so I call this meeting to order. I always forget what I have to do next. I guess the roll call by secretary.
Tommy Mecca.
Tommy Avacoli Mecca calling the meeting to order. Okay, and then Jorge Rodriguez.
Present.
Tom Nolan. And Stu Smith. Okay.
And Bill Ambrin.
Oh, Bill Ambrin.
Is he coming?
Excused.
No, he's excused.
Oh, excuse.
Okay, so, three of our recommendations for the task force are being presented today at the task force meeting at 4. They're in with the minutes that I think you just got. And so what I've just handed you out is a copy of the other two recommendations that we had drafted a while ago. And what we need basically to do is put these two in the same format as the ones we're presenting today. Yes, I think. Yes. So that's the only item on our agenda today, is to look these over and figure out how we're going to put these in the same shape. I think the main, well, you'll see. So the first one is stronger eviction, it should say protection. That's a typo. It should say stronger eviction protection for LGBT seniors are needed to keep them in their homes. And so what I did was I just came up with some stuff that, I mean, based on the stuff that we had brainstormed a long time ago. So the solutions that I have here, and feel free to add more or, you know, to motion to take anything out that you don't like or whatever. But these are the ones that, as I said, are based on discussions we've had in the past. So solution, that the city establish a rental assistance fund to aid LGBT seniors when they cannot pay the rent. That LGBT community organizations doing legal work, such as Transgender Law Center and Center for Lesbian Rights, begin to offer eviction defense for LGBT seniors, including but not limited to representation in unlawful detainer actions. That supervisors look into the possibility of restricting seniors from all evictions. That a fund be established within the community to help LGBT seniors with first month's rent and security deposit. That LGBT groups such as Human Rights Campaign and Equality California be urged to provide help for LGBT senior homeowners who are in danger of losing their homes, and do tenants' rights education and advocacy for LGBT seniors. Is any discussion on those points?
Well, Tom, are you envisioning that this fund be created by the LGBT community essentially in these organizations?
Which one, the first one?
Yeah.
No, I think later on.
But the first and last, am I the right one?
Yeah.
Stronger.
I guess I was looking at two things. One is that that it be funded by the city, that it be under season of sharing money from DPH. I think that's mentioned later on in here.
Yeah.
I think, or it should be mentioned in here. And then I thought it could be administered by something like the AIDS Housing Alliance, which already does that for people with AIDS, but maybe they could expand and just have a fund for LGBT seniors as well, since they wouldn't have to, we wouldn't have any setup chart costs, I think, because they already do it.
Right.
So I thought that would be the easiest and cheapest way to do it.
We should put at least the season of sharing in here, I think, in the first paragraph.
Oh.
A source.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was, I thought that's in here somewhere. Maybe I imagined it.
Well, it's solution, so I think
you got potential funding sources on the second page.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
So it might be a good idea to highlight up front so people ask the same question I did, where's the money?
Yeah.
Right, and you know, this first paragraph says solution,
fine.
And that's certainly solution.
So that the city establish a rental assistance fund as part of Season of Sharing?
No, well, or maybe at least partially funded by Season of
right.
Sharing, or for Season of Sharing being a primary potential source of funding.
Funded by Season of Sharing and others. Is that good?
Sure.
To aid LGBT seniors when they cannot pay the rent. Does that solve it for everybody?
This is what you proposed at the beginning, remember, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned funds from DPH, is that what you said?
Oh, Season of Sharing is a fund that DPH provides
Season
to groups like RATCO and St. Anthony's and all, so that they can provide rental assistance.
They distribute that money, right?
Season of Sharing
does.
They
don't collect it, it comes through the Chronicle or something.
That's the one of the Chronicle, they run that.
That's what I thought.
They highlight everybody's name.
Yeah, and it winds up being 2% or 3% a year.
Yeah, it goes through DPH.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Tommy, on the human rights campaign, I assume this is more out of hope than expectation, is that correct?
Yeah.
I think so. And possibly the same with Equality California.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I really feel like it's time that groups within the community start doing this kind of work.
At least be aware that we're asking them to.
Yeah. Anything that people want to add to the solution? Anything else come to mind that?
Well, do you want to put mention of the, because it is a solution, mention of the proposal to perhaps move it on to AIDS Housing Alliance? Or you want to wait?
I think maybe that should be under the, well, where should that be? I have it in implementation right now.
Maybe that's good. I'm just posting that as a question.
Maybe it could be in factual background, it could talk about what AIDS Housing Alliance does.
I think, well, yeah,
for
I
rental
think people
assistance.
Should know more about
sure.
it. I mean,
yeah.
I read
yeah.
Brian's name, but I don't often see it connected with AIDS Housing Alliance.
See. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So does someone want to do research and talk to Brian and ask him like how their rental assistance program works, how much
I can do that.
Okay, how much money they give out and whether or not it would be easy for them to also manage a fund for LGBT seniors?
I can
Great.
Tell him that we're proposing. Okay.
And Tommy, just so I'm on the same page, you
sure.
want to put these two recommendations in the same
no.
format as these
no.
and present
yeah,
all
yeah,
five?
Yeah, and present them in December.
All five of them?
No, we're presenting three today.
Okay.
These would be presented in December.
Okay, and ultimately you'd put forth as the Housing Subcommittee
yes.
five recommendations.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
So this will be very similar to what the AIDS Emergency Fund now do with the HIV positive
right.
clientele, right?
Right, Good. Right.
Well, one thing about naming organizations is that Shereen McSpadden told me that like if there should be some money identified, it's okay like to mention kind of examples of organizations like that
yeah.
that might be eligible, but there would be an RFP process.
Oh, right.
The city
right.
requires.
Yes.
I think especially with our friends from Open House, it would become a big issue there because clearly they're the only act in town.
Exactly,
in lots of ways.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that the one... One of your recommendations mentions Shanti, Maitri, and all these others.
No.
No, I guess that's the health one.
That's health.
Yeah,
that's
health.
I think it's really good how you mentioned in here these case studies almost, like Tim Loviat and things like that.
Right.
Visiting real people. Because we try to do that with the dementia thing as well.
Okay, so should we move on to factual background? So one of the things that I've been trying to get is info from St. Anthony's about how much rental assistance they do specifically for either seniors or LGBT seniors. They weren't sure if they break it down by LGBT. So if we could get something from St. Anthony's about how many seniors they serve per year with rental assistance, I think that might be good to add in here to show some, give some idea of how much need there is out there. It'd be great if we got LGBT seniors, but I don't think anybody keeps that. Breaks it down by gender identity or sexual orientation. Does someone want to talk to St. Anthony's about
I'll
that?
I'll give it a shot. Or
okay.
you want to? Did you say you want to do?
No, I'm doing.
He's doing
AIDS
Housing.
I can do it.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I didn't see it in
yeah.
written in here.
What?
Maybe I can't see it.
Oh, isn't it up here?
Anthony. Well, probably
isn't it,
is,
isn't it next to factual
yeah.
background?
Yeah,
it says
yeah.
info
oh,
from
yeah,
St.
Yeah,
Anthony's.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So I was thinking that we could have a paragraph that just talks about how many seniors they see if they have it broken down by sexual orientation, that'd be great. But if not, just how many seniors they see and maybe how much, what percentage of their funds, of their rental assistance funds go to seniors. So we have some justification for saying we need something specifically for seniors. So I'll mark you down for that. Okay, and then factual background. Legal services within the LGBT community for LGBT seniors facing eviction are pretty much non-existent. Groups that do legal advocacy on other fronts, discrimination for example, do not offer help when an LGBT senior is fighting eviction or being threatened with one. According to the latest eviction report by the city's Eviction Defense Collaborative, the leading agency doing eviction defense for tenants in the city, 15% of, quote, households were home to at least one person who identified as LGBTQ, end quote. Nearly half of EDC's clients facing eviction, quote, live at or below the poverty line, less than $11,490 per year. There is no stat for LGBT seniors, but clearly it is an LGBT concern. So that's the first paragraph that I'm trying to use to support the idea of eviction funds, rental assistance, and eviction defense for, I mean, not rental assistance, eviction defense for seniors. Seniors are particularly vulnerable when evicted from long-term rent-controlled apartments, not being able to easily find an affordable place in a rental market that has the highest rents the city has ever recorded. The loss of a long-term rent-controlled apartment can mean homelessness or life in a shelter for an LGBT senior, and shelters are not safe spaces for LGBT folks, as evidenced by the hearing held in March 2010 by Supervisor David Campos. About 35 LGBT homeless or formerly homeless people, some of them seniors, testified of their encounters with homophobic harassment or violence in the shelters. Senior housing is limited. Only one LGBT senior development open house is in the works. It opens in 2015. Is that correct, or is it 2016?
I thought it was later than that, but I'm not sure.
Well, we could check.
Yeah, Marcy.
Yes, sure. Marcy, or, yeah. Even when it is built, it will not be sufficient to fill the need. The best way to lessen the need and the cost for affordable housing for seniors is to keep long-term rent-controlled seniors in their places. Once someone is out of their apartment, it's very difficult to find affordable housing. Consider the case of Tim Oviatt, 64, who once ran All-American Boy in the Castro. After his eviction, documented on a KQED radio segment called Wave of San Francisco Evictions Displaces Gay Men with AIDS by Brian Goebel, October 4th, 2013, he ended up sleeping in his car in the parking lot next to the store he lost. Another gay disabled senior, Jeremy Michaels, who runs a website called ellishurtsseniors.org and who has been featured in many stories in the straight and queer press in the past year, including The Chronicle, Bay Guardian, and the BAR, has temporarily won his battle against the Ellis Act of his unit by three investors from out of town. They could still appeal the court's decision to toss out his eviction and refile the Ellis. Should he be evicted, he has nowhere to go. LGBT seniors are also among those who have lost their homes during the recent and continuing foreclosure crisis. One particular case that received a lot of media attention involved Larry Folks, a senior disabled African-American gay man who has been forced to live in his van since being pushed out of his long-term home last year. See story in BAR November 1st. It should say see stories, it's more than one, in the BAR November 1st and December 13th, 2012. If a senior does have to move, scraping together the first month, last month, and security deposit can be a real effort. With the median rent for a one-bedroom at $3,000 a month, that means a senior has to have $9,000 up front in order to get a new apartment, and that doesn't include the cost of the move itself. Comments, questions, suggestions, additions, subtractions?
I think it's well done.
Yeah, it's well done. Very good information, man.
Yeah. Again, I like the stories about these two individuals that you mentioned.
It's something that is really true, yeah.
Oops, I think I just had an accident. My kombucha. They just spilled in like that.
Oh, the tenants of this building that you're working now, isn't there any gay seniors?
Yes, there are some LGBT folks. Okay. I don't know their ages, but I think a few of them are seniors.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to include them because I don't know for a fact.
Of course. Very good.
So is there anything else we need to add in there, or?
Tommy, is there any sense of, is any other community around the country doing anything like this about this issue? Are you aware of anything?
No. I don't know that very many other cities are having the kind of crisis we're having, other than New York. I mean, New York certainly is. But I don't.
Did I just hear something on the radio, on CBS radio, about Oakland? Oakland starting to do something?
Yes. Well, I mean, for LGBT seniors?
Regarding housing. I thought I actually heard Gene Kwan addressing the issue. I may be wrong, but I was driving across the bridge and I was taken by the comments, and they had something to do with the shortage of housing and what she was going to do. And I thought she mentioned LGBT.
Yeah, Oakland's rents are rising.
Right.
Because so many people are moving over there from San Francisco.
Yeah, she said that they're facing displacement too.
So, okay, anything else on, hey, Bill.
Hello, hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Note for the record that Bill Ambrin has entered the meeting.
And everybody's standing up applauding.
Yeah,
I don't actually have another copy of this. We're going over our last two recommendations for December.
Great.
So
we're
looking at putting them into shape by December so we can present them. The first one is stronger eviction protection for LGBT seniors. Maybe Snag could make a copy, or did he?
Don't worry about me. I'm just running early. From,
oh, so. Okay. Well,
I'll copy his notes.
Hi. Are you here for the housing subcommittee meeting?
The LGBT committee.
Are you Joyce?
Yes.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
I'm Bill. Joyce, this is our new member, everybody.
Oh, cool.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi, I'm Bill.
Hi, Bill. Nice to meet you.
Tom, you could actually. Tom, you could have that.
Tom Nolan.
Hi, Tom. Nice to meet you.
Welcome.
Joyce Pearson, thank you.
And this is
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi. Stu Smith.
Stu Smith.
How are you?
And your name again?
Stu Smith.
Stu, I'm Joyce.
Nice to meet you, Joyce.
So, Joyce, they're just finishing the housing
subcommittee meeting.
I'm a little early.
You
want to
come back out the hallway?
Oh, okay. So, since he's out in the hallway.
I'll get mine back.
That's Snay's copy, but.
That's Snay's copy.
But there's your copy back. Okay, so policy rationale. It is extremely expensive to rehouse LGBT seniors in an affordable unit. Replacement affordable housing generally costs $350,000 or more per unit. Waiting lists await LGBT seniors needing housing. The displacement of a senior is a crisis, especially when that person has been in a long-term tenancy. Having LGBT seniors on the streets or in a shelter system that subjects them to homophobic harassment and violence is not something the city nor the LGBT community should be allowing to happen. The only ways to prevent it is to make eviction defense of LGBT seniors a crucial part of both city and LGBT community efforts. Anything anybody wants to add to that? It's kind of short, but I could. That.
Well, it's kind of like you mentioned, Jorge, the AIDS emergency fund in the beginning. But if you can keep people in their house, small grant, the whole lot better than trying to solve it later.
So anything else on policy rationale?
Does it say enough?
I don't know. Well, maybe people could think about it and bring in, because we still have one more meeting before we have to have us present it. We have to have it finished before our next meeting. Yeah. But we could do that. I mean, if somebody thinks of anything, just email it to me, in the next week or so.
I think that the point you made earlier about the factual background about how difficult it is going to be, and almost nothing's on the horizon for truly affordable housing.
Exactly.
This is not going to happen. That might be something to expand a little bit. Once again, you already said it, but considering there's no other alternative, really.
Yeah.
No practical alternative.
I think that's very valid. And the city's doing anything about it,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Potential funding sources. Funding for rental assistance and security deposit first month could come from city sources, such as Department of Public Health, Season of Sharing, or it could come from fundraising within the LGBT community. I have to say, I'm not real strong on this potential funding sources category, so.
Well, you know, I don't know, just flashed out, possibly some foundation might be interested in a kind of pilot or demonstration project.
Horizon's maybe.
Horizon doesn't have a whole lot of money, but San Francisco Foundation, tons of money over there.
They're very liberal, yeah.
That might be the way to sell it, sort of like, if it could work with this LGBT community in San Francisco, perhaps it could work with others.
What was, I always come back to this, what was Chris Daley's trick that got D'Angelo San Giacomo to give all that back?
To give, you're talking about Trinity?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was involved with that whole thing.
I mean, it was complicated, I realized, but basically the developer wound up giving a lot back.
Yeah, it was just his persistence. His persistence and the community pressure we exerted. We actually got a meeting with Gavin Newsom, with the tenants. We brought all these tenants in, and they met with Gavin, and they sat there, and they cried, and they talked about how they had nowhere to go. It was mostly seniors in the room.
Right.
Including this really incredible senior transgender woman who was just, she was so amazing. She got up there, and she just said to them in those uncertain terms, if you care about LGBT rights, you won't let me be evicted. That was basically what she said to them. She said, I've been in this city for a long time. You know, I've done so much work for the LGBT community, but I can't stay here. If I lose this apartment, I'll have to leave.
Well, I think what I'm getting at is I think advocacy and activism play a role in what we're trying to do. And somehow I think without scaring people, I think we have to put that into our proposal. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening right now as a result of some of the activism that's going on. I mean, a lot of potential big changes. And well, there's more receptivity to it right now.
Yeah, if you can think of a way to add it in, send me something.
Okay. I'm probably not going to think of a way because
I wrote it down here too, so I'll be thinking of it too as well. Oh, let's give Jorge. Can you pass this that one right there?
This one?
No,
that one. Of course.
Let's hook up. So we're on. I think potential that, funding source.
I think that is a good idea to add some more examples of possibilities of approaching these.
Okay,
major
so like
foundations.
SF Foundation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Haas Junior do anything like that, Bill?
What?
Like
rental
like
assistance, I don't think they do that.
Pilot programs on development or?
I don't know. Possibly.
Haas used to fund my organization, but I think that they've cut back on the housing stuff they're doing.
But they still do a lot of LGBT stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'll mark it down. I mean, can't lose by mentioning it.
You can always ask.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, I think that's...
That'll be something that we can discuss with...
Howard.
Kate Howard, yes, thank you.
Oh.
That's next week, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right,
so that's
that.
Definitely something you should ask Kate when we're meeting with her.
Right.
Funding about that.
What about the... back to Chris Daley. What about the idea of the city somehow really getting more proactive in demanding contributions from developers of new projects to either include or finance comparable low-income or BMR housing. Is that a possibility to get that more of a city policy?
Yeah, I'm just not sure if that's something we can put in here. I mean, I agree with that. I know we're working right now on Twitter, the whole Twitter thing, the community benefits package. I'm part of the struggle to get more money out of them for housing stuff. But I don't know how we put that in here. You know, I don't.
Yeah, well, I'm just tossing it out.
It's a great idea, but I just don't know how because it's so. It's not definite. It's not something we can say like the Season of Sharing Fund where it exists and we can go to them and say
but
it.
We do have monies being set aside from developers for BMR housing. I mean, I've talked to several of the supervisors. No one's been able to find out how much or where it's gone.
Because it's negotiated site by site.
Okay.
Like right now, we're negotiating 15th and Market Sanchez. I'm part of a group that we've just got the developer to agree to do on-site affordable housing because they were originally going to opt out and give the city the money rather than build it. But we pressured them, and now we've got them to agree to provide on-site BMRs. But they're going to be at 50% of AMI, which means you have to earn oh God, I'm so bad at math. You have to earn something like 38,000 a year to qualify for one of those
units.
And
then what would the rent be on units like that?
38,000? It's going to be more than some senior on fixed income can afford.
Yeah.
So minimum wage people aren't going to be able to get those units. People on SSI, people on, you know. So it's definitely for people, 38,000 is for people like me. So that's around my salary level. So it's going to be someone like me who's going to get that unit.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I don't, you know, we're not hitting the absolute most desperate need, which is the people, you know, who are living on 10,000 a year or 20,000 a year.
The complex I'm in, and you may be aware of it, Crescent Cove, some of the units are priced, you can have only Social Security of,
right.
I think, $1,000
right.
or $1,200
right.
something like
exactly.
that.
Right, exactly.
And you qualify for the equivalent of Ryan White or
right.
the Section 8. But the rent, posted rent, is $1,232 a month. And they can't pay more than 30% of their
right.
income
right.
towards that.
Right.
But they're maybe the last one, according to Open House, that's doing that. Because now, they told me, Ellen told me that now you have to have more than 27.5 and that's going up first of the year to like 35 or something.
It depends on where the funding source. It depends on the funding source. So, if you know, and the BMRs are different, are totally different.
Yeah,
the BMRs.
It's
so,
very complicated.
No, it is. It is. The affordable housing situation is very complicated, but the BMR thing is a nightmare to figure out sometimes. But the problem is that each of these sites, the community comes into the situation demanding something, and then we end up having to sit down for hours and negotiate, and we end up getting what we can get. Like 55 Laguna, where not only did we get open house, but we also got 50 units of BMR at 50% of AMI. But they wanted to build them at 80% of AMI, so we got them down 30%. And they wanted to build fewer than 50, but we put so much pressure on them and spent endless hours in meetings to get it up to 50 and down to 50% of AMI. So there is no set.
So it's project by project.
It's project by project, and it's very frustrating and it's very time consuming. So we can't rely on that at all to help.
Well, and no offense, but even when you're successful, it's not a ton
exactly.
of units. I
no.
mean, it's a drop in the bucket
it's
compared to the
bucket.
Need. So,
55 Laguna is actually one of our biggest victories because we got 50 BMRs plus we've got the 110 LGBT senior housing. That's all going to be affordable. So that's going to be 0 to 50% of AMI, those units. So 55 Laguna is going to probably have more affordable housing than any other site.
You made a point to me when we were talking about this a few weeks ago that when you're talking about new units, seniors aren't going to be moving in. Those are not units that seniors are going to be able to move into.
They're not going to be able
so
to
whenever
them.
Now I
right.
hear people talking about new units, I'm like, well, that doesn't affect the people that we need
right.
to help. They can't afford the
no,
new
they
units.
Can't afford it.
Yeah.
The income level is too high.
Who's displaced from a rent-controlled unit, a senior, is never going to be able to afford a new rent-controlled unit.
It would be a rent-controlled unit if it's new.
Yeah.
Rent-controlled.
Yeah, then on top
apply.
Of that, right. It
right.
wouldn't even be.
But if it's a subsidized unit, it's just that the AMI level is too high for the senior to afford. Really unfortunate, but. Okay, so the final thing on this one is the timeline for implementation, which I admit is also weak. I think we need to clean this up a little bit. The city should prioritize eviction protection for seniors as well as rental assistance to prevent evictions. Within 6 months of this report, legislation should be introduced into the Board of Supervisors that addresses senior evictions, and meetings should be set up to establish a rental assistance and deposit fund, perhaps with the AIDS Housing Alliance, which already does such work.
Good.
Does it?
Yeah, great to the point.
I guess,
but
where would the Board of Supervisors, they get, they're passing legislation, is it up to them to say, like, where it should be located in the city? I mean, not where, who should be responsible for this implementation? I mean, they said this is the mayor's office of housing or something, or
for the legislation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it would be up to the board. Would have to board member would have to sit down with the city attorney's office and come up with something, and then yeah, it would all be decided by the, I think the city attorney first, and then Or the supervisor would go to the city attorney's office with a proposal in writing, and then the city attorney's office would advise them on whether or not they can do it and how it has to be reworded and all that. It's a process, a lot of back and forth. So I don't know how specific we can be in saying what this legislation should look like, because I'm not clear on what's legal and what's, I would like to say, let's just do a ban on evicting seniors. But I think the constitutionality of that is very questionable, and I think that would get very complicated. I mean, we could, if we all want to do that, we could put it in here, but I just don't know how practical it is to, as much as I would love to say that in this report, that we want to ban on all senior evictions.
We have asked these things to be actionable, so that's good to caveat, probably.
Yeah, but I mean, if we want to, let's go for it. If we really want to put in there a plan for banning evictions for seniors, I don't know. And let the board figure it out, but I don't know how seriously, would they take it seriously if we put it in there? Would they really pursue it if we put something in there like that? I don't know. I mean, we already say it here that we want senior evictions banned, but.
Well, so in my view, not in the past, but you know, on a lot of these issues, including housing, they're going to be looking to punt if they can, right? I mean, they're not going to want to confront difficult issues necessarily if they don't have
exactly.
to. So I just don't want to give them an easy excuse to punt. And that's why if we can be more specific.
Okay, so we should be more specific.
Like, you know, pursue legislation to prevent any senior from being evicted. You know, Scott Wiener can punt. It's so easy for him to punt and say, well, I'm sure that's not legal. You know, I need something I can work with. So the more we can give them things to work with, I think the better off we're going to be. The other thing for implementation that I want people to think about is that I've talked to some members about building into our recommendations like a report card sort of thing where we get together as a group in a year, from 6 months after we issue the report, or a year or 2 years, and we issue a report card to the city on how are you doing implementing our report. And so I think the timeline for implementation should take in mind that we're going to revisit.
Okay.
So what I see here is a 6 month, so that if they introduce legislation by 6 months, they've met, you know, they've met the demand, but then the legislation could sit there for 6 months or a year. So that's not helpful. So, you know, that first milestone is good to introduce legislation within 6 months, but then I think we need like a 1 year goal.
How about it should
something.
Be introduced within 6 months and passed within a year?
Something like that, I think. So
well,
when we go back and say you haven't done enough on this issue, we can, you know.
Bill, doesn't legislation have to be passed within the legislative year or else it dies?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, then that wording would be good.
But they can also reintroduce it.
Right, can be. So we could build in that within 6 months, legislation should be introduced and passed within a year.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good, really good. I like that. So should we say in the implementation that we're going to be doing a report card or something? Or that's
I think
just
you want
implied.
It expressed somewhere.
Yeah. I was going to propose a recommendation next month that includes several aspects of follow-up, including the report card.
Okay.
So I think we'll have that as a separate recommendation.
Oh, good. Okay, so we don't have to build it into this.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, good. Okay. Wow, 20 minutes. Okay, so number two, moving on to that, because we only have 20 minutes or less. And this one is not shaped up at all. This one is in really sorry state, so we're going to have to all chip in and whip this into shape in the next week or two. More affordable housing needs to be built or provided for LGBT seniors. Solution, that an LGBT senior be included on the community-based work group to draft the Mayor's Office of Housing Consolidated Plan for HUD. That LGBT organizations be encouraged to raise money for an LGBT senior housing co-op or land trust. That affordable housing advocates, supervisors, and representatives of the Mayor's Office of Housing meet to develop a plan for low-income LGBT senior housing in the Castro Upper Market area. That funding be provided for housing search, counseling, and assistance for LGBT seniors. And that the city and LGBT organizations commit to a plan for reducing LGBT senior homelessness and need for affordable housing by 50% within the next 5 years. And these were all culled from ideas that came up at various times at our committee, so.
I like it.
Any comments, additions, anything we want to amend, take out, whatever?
Is there a body being proposed?
The Mayor's Office on Housing Consolidated Plan?
Yeah, whatever this.
Yes, they meet every 5 years, I believe it is. I found this out from Ann Romero over at Mayor's Office on Housing. They'll be meeting next year, and what they're going to be doing is coming up with this plan for HUD, and it's basically a plan for priorities. What groups, what segments of the city's population needs housing the most, and what is their plan for meeting those needs? So I thought it might be important that we have an LGBT senior on that body to advocate for LGBT senior housing. So that's the background on that, and that needs to be built into our factual background. It needs to be explained that.
Fairly easy one from the do too.
Yeah, it's very easy. I mean, yeah, Ann told me that it would be a shoo-in that we could get somebody. It's just a matter of somebody has to.
I was shocked that they only meet once in every 5 years.
I think it's every 5 years. Well, every 5 years they have to report to HUD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's every 5 years they have to report to HUD.
I mean, people, they might all die in between.
No. It's just that they have to do this report for HUD.
Hey, hello.
So anybody want to add anything or amend anything or anything? Okay, so factual background, what I have so far. LGBT seniors have not had a voice in the Mayor's Office of Housing Consolidated Plan for HUD, a report that determines the city's priorities in the development of affordable housing, a great need in the LGBT senior community. The Castro Upper Market area is currently seeing a lot of development right now, but none of it is affordable to LGBT seniors on fixed income. Even the BMR, below market rate units, are too expensive for LGBT seniors who are living in long-term rent-controlled apartments or on a fixed income, pension, SSI, etc. While Open House offers counseling for LGBT seniors on how to apply for affordable houses, where to look, how to fill out applications, etc., no other organization in the city assists LGBT seniors with this task, except the AIDS Housing Alliance, which helps persons with HIV/AIDS. That's all we have on this so far. So we need to get to flesh out the factual background, come up with the rationale, implementation, timeline, all that stuff. So
does the legalization of in-law units fit into this somehow, or how do we feel about that?
I think the problem with that is that those are going to be market rate. Those are not going to be affordable, because even though they'll be under rent control if they're built on a lot, or if they're built as part of a building that was built before 79, they'll be under rent control, but the landlord can set the rent at any price he wants, the initial rent. So they're not going to be affordable to LGBT seniors on fixed income.
What do you see? Is there political support for this over in the city, the supervisors?
I don't know. I don't
know.
It seems like they're trying to.
Yeah, there is. I mean, didn't Scott propose this?
Scott proposed it, but the only support I know of he's getting right now is from the landlord groups. The housing groups have not weighed in on it.
Okay.
And as far as for the discussion I've had with other housing folks are not thrilled about this because of the fact that the rents would be set at market rate. And it's not going to give us affordable housing. And I've talked to Scott about this, and his take is that he thinks that, yes, maybe the rents get set at market rate, but then if somebody moves in at market rate under rent control, then the rent stays affordable after that. But the person's got to be able to afford that initial rent. You know, and I think these spaces are going to go into Castro for about $2,500 to $3,000 a month, these in-laws. Because the Castro is, you know, the top dollar right now. Mm. It's very high rent. So
does that do anything for seniors at all?
Nothing, as far as I can see. I don't see it. And I said to Scott, I said, this doesn't do anything for the people in our community who need housing the most. And he admitted to me. He said, yes, you're right. But in the long term, it creates rent-controlled, affordable housing for the people who move in initially. And that may be fine, but we're talking about people who are not low income. They're not working class people. They're going to be middle income people, probably. I mean, to afford a $3,000 a month rent, you got to make a pretty good amount of money. I couldn't afford it on my salary.
Money, yeah.
So
I was just thinking about the nonprofits around town that do housing development.
Right.
TNDC, of course. And,
right. CCDC, Mercy. Yeah.
I wonder if there might be some kind of a relationship with them that we might try to create for this community in particular.
Fund.
Well,
I don't know. I just
Mercy is working on Open House.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I think they're also working on St. Anthony's too. St. Anthony's doing some housing down
right
here.
Right.
But TNDC does an awful lot of stuff
right
around town. I'm not sure what how it would be connected here, but I mean, if there's going to be any affordable housing, it's people like that that are going to do it.
Right.
Really, it's not going to be A. Washington.
No.
Nothing's going to be A. Washington. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
It'll come back.
So that's a good idea. We should put in here about the nonprofit developers and working with them.
I think so.
Absolutely.
TNDC is one of them. Worked very closely with them.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them that we could cite and work in.
I think they can give you, from my experience, having worked with them, a reality check. But I'm not just obviously coming out of the tail end of this, but I think the in-law is one asset that can be used for a certain portion of the community, because our charge is not only to deal with the low-income senior LGBT community, it's to deal with the LGBT aging community at large. So there's a top ceiling which can handle that middle to upper income group, which are also getting pushed out for a lot of other reasons. And then, to Tom's point, the nonprofit housing developers, if there's any wiggle room, if there's any dynamic relative to affordable housing development, they're the ones that are the experts, because they're the ones that actually do it.
Right.
So an ongoing relationship with them is really important. TNDC used to be the game in town when I was working in the system. There, I think they still are maybe one of the, if not the biggest.
Yeah.
So they know every nook and cranny of the affordable housing market. So I don't know how that helps you, because it doesn't give you anything concrete, but it does form an ongoing relationship, which is ultimately going to affect policy, because they'll keep this group in mind when they're doing their housing development. You know what I'm saying? So one of the charges that we have is to make these other service providers who are getting multi-million dollar grants every year to be more user-friendly for our population. If nothing else, if they at least have us on the radar screen, that's kind of the beginning. And again, I agree, Tom, you know, knowing the need, it doesn't give you anything you can wrap your arms around, it's concrete, right, but it gives us a beginning. And maybe they can come up with something that we don't know, because that's what they do every day.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things they did that was so impressive to me was the senior men out in Golden Gate and Baker. It's an amazing place to have it. I mean, you tend to think of Tenderloin and all of that. So they clearly know how to work with the neighborhood to get something like that through. A fairly large project, too. Anyway, that's... I'd be happy to look in and talk to some of those people. I know the executive director of TNDC and some of these others.
I would say that we really need to get the information like within the next 2 weeks to make the deadline for the next meeting.
So is this one, so the idea that came up, Molly brought it up and other people brought it up, that our community is not as organized as other communities in applying for affordable housing that comes online.
Exactly.
So is this where that issue would get addressed?
Yes.
Because I think, we all, think well of Open House and appreciate the work they do, but I have heard feedback from people, LGBT seniors that have gone to Open House that have not received assistance. They receive the information, but then they're completely left on their own to apply and run around town, and it's a very difficult process, and there are other communities and other agencies that will actually help seniors fill out forms and get to, places where they need to stand in line. And I just feel like, those are the types of things that we need to recommend.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a politically delicate issue, because we have three reps from Open House on the task force. But I think I'm looking at services, not necessarily who's going to be rendering those services. And I'm looking at a certain threshold for quality. And I'm looking at whatever we recommend is going to have a blanket. We recommend an RFP be issued for these services, so we don't have to worry about who's going to be providing the services, and the service providers will self-eliminate based on their expertise. I've heard the same thing. I also know that it's going to be really difficult for Open House to do the capital development, which is a multi-million dollar project, plus the program, which is a conversation you and I have a lot. My background is social work, so I know that it doesn't make any difference if you put somebody in the Taj Mahal. If you don't have a wraparound social services, then that person's not going to be able to maintain that housing, and they're not going to be able to maximize the quality of the housing provided, because as this task force has shown, there's a whole retinue of other issues that our population suffered from. So before I go off on a task, on a tangent, I'm just more interested in our being able to specifically spit out, we need these services, and let the best man or woman apply for those services in a fair RFP process to see who comes up as the granted service provider. Because there's some limitations that Open House suffers from, and they're going to suffer from them for years, because they're doing a big project right now. I don't want us to be stuck with only one provider, because that sets them up, and it sets up our community.
So we're running out of time here.
Because Larry's talking.
So, no, it's just that what I want us to do is come up with a plan for how we're going to finish fleshing this out. So, Tom, you're going to look into
TNDC, the nonprofit housing providers.
Right, and get some idea of whether or not we can work with
is
them
some kind of a, yeah,
to develop LGBT senior housing specifically. That'd be good. I can also talk to I can talk to Tracy from the Land Trust about what it would look like to have the Land Trust do something that's specifically LGBT senior focused. The other things on this, so we need, what else do we need to research?
Well, I personally think there should be some sort of, it should address the in-law unit issue that's clearly going to be talked about a lot over the next 6 months or whatever. So if we feel as a group it's not going to help seniors or most of the seniors we're trying to help, I think we should say that so that you know, people don't think it will if it's not going to.
So how do people feel on the committee about the in-law units?
Well, it's housing inventory. Mm-hmm. And as Larry said, there are people in our committee who are going to be able to afford it. I can't, and I'm envious of those who can't, but you know, what the hell, we need housing. And they're part of our community too, those who are more affluent. So I think it should be in there. And I don't know, maybe a recommendation that there be, I don't know, consideration given for the, you know, those parts of our community who don't have the means, or maybe a policy of subsidization, just as there is for other units.
Yeah, incentivize the renting.
Exactly,
seniors.
Yeah.
Because Bill, I presume there'd be no way for the city to force somebody to, if they have one unit in their house that they legalize, becomes, they couldn't say it has to be under these, that'd be just too.
In fact, that's a question I'm asking Jane Kim's office to look into with the city attorney. Because of Costa-Hawkins, which is a state law, the city can impose rent control on units that are built after 79, but, or can't impose limits on the rent, can't make the landlord start at a certain rent. But there might be a way around it, because sometimes there's little ways around things. It gets really complicated, but basically I'm working with Kim's office and trying to get some information about whether there's some way that because maybe Jane Kim or someone could offer an amendment to this legislation along those lines, that the rents have to be set at a certain level to start with or something. But I just don't think that's gonna fly.
I would ask
a question for the legally from the committee, just around this whole generic issue, which I think applies to the whole task force. How is it okay for you to lean on resources to say you want to provide a certain amount of that resource for a target population, or is that lawsuit?
No, well, I don't know.
It's just something I'm posing. Can we ask that?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I think these are complicated legal issues, so we should ask. But what I was going to say too is that I would look at it from the flip side, which is there anything the city can do to incentivize landlords renting to seniors? So can the city provide a tax break or a tax deferral or, I don't know what, I have no idea, I don't do this kind of law, but I think Tom's right that the law would not allow the city to say you have to rent to seniors, but if there's a way for the city to make it particularly attractive to rent to seniors.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, that affects that housing trust fund in a way too. I mean, it's a very flexible fund from what I understand, and, you know, some policy squeeze can be put there where they can use that to sweeten the pie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know, the interesting philosophical thing kind of is the, that we talked about before, the kind of the rising tide, you know, kind of what Stu was saying, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see a statement saying that this won't be a panacea or anything like that for people we're truly concerned about, but for some people, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, put it in perspective.
You might, I think we've talked about a lot of this bill around the kind of statements like that about how LGBT seniors are part of the overall population.
Right.
But that'd be a good debate.
It's a larger community within community issue that
we've
not really been able to deal with because we are unfortunately having to deal with compartmentalization of this population because of the way we're set up, but it's a larger issue.
Unless we could find what you're talking about, some kind of thing through Jane Kim's office.
Maybe we have
an incentive. This could be
no worries.
A good issue, a good important thing, but the people we're most interested in.
Yeah. And I.
Okay, so.
So if, and Scott has already used seniors in his rhetoric around this issue. So I think it's perfectly fair for us to say this helps some seniors, and here are the types of seniors it could help, but it is not going to help most seniors.
That's right.
That's an important perspective for us, so that. Because in my lay opinion head, I was thinking, oh, well, this could help a lot of seniors, but then. When it's explained to me, I realize, oh, it's a few seniors. So, okay.
And the other thing is that a landlord has a choice to rent to whoever they want.
Yeah.
So if a landlord's got several applicants and one of them's a senior, but, you know, another one of them is some young, you know, person with a whole lot of income, who are they going to rent to?
Exactly.
Right.
So there's always that. And we can't force a landlord to rent to one person over another. It becomes discrimination.
Lunch I was at today, there was a prominent real estate gal, and she had shown a house this morning across from the Palace of, or the Legion, the Palace of Fine Arts.
Yeah.
And she's listing the house for $5.5 million or something like this.
Wow.
She says, I know I can hook them. The basement's an illegal in-law, and she can get, they can get $7,500 for that.
Oh my God.
And it's illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
That's part for like a two-bedroom.
No, she said it's like a big open empty space with a kitchen and a bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The rents are getting
wrong.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's
unbelievable. So, I remember laughing.
The wrong family.
Yes,
4
yes,
o'clock,
yes.
So do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you guys.
Okay, we are
thank
adjourned.
You.
Thank you for joining us.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, thank you. Do you want this back?
I don't know how to shut this off. Shut this off. Yeah.